Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, there's no denying it. We all love a good bargain and getting more bang for our buck. This is what draws throngs of shoppers online and to physical stores for Boxing Day sales, Black Friday sales, and on the 11th of November, one of the newer kids on the sales circuit, Singles Day. Now, looking at sheer sales volumes, nothing quite comes close to China's annual Singles Day discount festival. Sales in that 24-hour period alone are double what Amazon generates in an entire month. But this year, it's different. Retail's been hit hard by the COVID-19 pandemic. And in fact, Bain & Company have just issued a report titled, "Will COVID-19 Change Singles Day?" Well, to find out more, we're joined today by Jonathan Cheng, and he's the partner and head of Greater China Retail at Bain & Company. Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Rachel. Thank you for your time.
So, Jonathan, first tell us, you know, COVID-19, it's really hit retail sales hard. To what extent can online sales from events such as Singles Day fill that void?
Thank you, Rachel. From our perspective, COVID has significant impact, especially right after Chinese New Year up to about June timeframe. We believe that the Double 11 this year would actually be quite strong. However, it will not be able to fully recover the drop that was lost during COVID. That said, you know, this Double 11 is still very critical for a couple of reasons. And, you know, number one is really around, what are some of the changes that COVID brings to consumer behaviors, mm-hmm. and how the retailers and them will have to adjust accordingly in the brands?
Let's just rewind a little bit first before we start to talk about retail re-strategizing on the back of the results that we see from Singles Day. And let's just talk a little bit more about Singles Day, because it is one of the newer sales that we have. Although it's not that new, is it? I mean, it was launched, I think, in 2009, if I'm correct. How has Singles Day really evolved, and how does it compare to other promotional shopping events?
Rich, you're absolutely right. So, you know, as of last year in 2019, Double 11 actually reached about $60 billion USD on the day of Double 11. And it's one of the most important retail events. But it actually went through three very distinct stages starting from 2009. In 2009, it started from one single category, which is apparel, and was very much a discount channel to liquidate a lot of the markdown inventories. However, that has evolved through the three stages. Stage one, before 2015, we call it the penetration stage. And that was really a stage where the platforms, leading by Alibaba, really use Double 11 as a mechanism to acquire and penetrate customers, to bring them and introduce them to online shopping. And that has been extremely successful. 60% increase in active daily users, you know, on an annual basis. But starting from 2016 to 2018, as the penetration and the monthly active users start to reach quite a high level, the strategy starts to pivot into what we call the stage two, premiumization. And this is where, with the core customer group that's already online, starting to introduce them to trading up on more expensive categories, new categories, higher price point items. So the premiumization actually drove significant amount of growth during the 2016 to the 2018 period, where you actually see the daily active user growth number drop to about 15%, but the average revenue per user actually went up and growing at 20% per annum. Now we're entering to stage three, and that is really what we call the polarization. What we see in this stage is the consumers are actually, there's actually a two distinct group of consumers. One, which is the higher tier city, higher income middle class, that continues to be loyal, continues to penetrate the market, and continues to grow their share of wallet into new categories. However, there's a new group of consumers where all the platforms are eyeing at and trying to grow, which is the lower tier city. And these cities are going to be the majority contributor of new user growth. However, what is the full potential in terms of the revenue per user that they can generate is still a question mark, and it's something for us to actually really look at during this Double 11.
And speaking about expansion in China's lower tier cities, it's really a balance, isn't it, between catering to two different markets, from catering to China's lower tier cities as well as the tier one cities. How are retailers balancing that?
Rachel, I think that's a great question. And I think everyone is trying to still in the path of trying to figure that out. If we dial it back a little bit in 2018, this is really where Pinduoduo starts to enter the market. A lot of people look at this market, and everyone knew that the lower tier city was and will be a key growth driver, but people were expecting it to be a little later, maybe 2021, 2022. Mm-hmm. However, what Pinduoduo did was massively move that timeline forward. And what Pinduoduo has been able to do is to quickly educate and penetrate a lower tier city and have a differentiated value proposition, which is, you know, good enough products, unlocking the excess supply that we have in China to really serve these customers. And that has opened up a floodgate of new consumer growth, right? So I think the opportunity is clear, which is as the platforms and internet giants continue to look for new user growth, lower tier city is the main sources of growth. The challenge that everyone is going to face is the question of profitability, because as the acquisition costs continue to increase and the fulfillment cost is not necessarily lower, what is the quality of GMV that we can generate in lower tier city? It's something that is still to be figured out. And I think the path to that is really to create a differentiated offering, a very tailored offering for the second market, rather than just duplicating what has worked in higher tier cities, try to duplicate that to the lower tier cities.
We're speaking with Jonathan Cheng, partner and head of Greater China Retail at Bain & Company. So Jonathan, let's look at the wider retail scene as well, because looking at footfall, as you mentioned, footfall is still about 20% lower, and retailers have really started to position online to cater to that gap. What kind of numbers are you expecting this year on the back of, you know, this push to digitalize sales?
The headline message is that we believe this year's Double 11 will be quite strong for two reasons. One, Rachel, you already alluded to that the loss out in COVID, a lot of the pent-up demand could be, some of that will be recovered during Double 11. But the other one is really that pivotal shift and that accelerated shift from offline to online. We always knew that is going to happen. Mm-hmm. However, just what COVID has been able to do is to accelerate, and the magnitude of change is actually quite unprecedented. When we look at a lot of the retailers in China, whether that is the grocery retailers or even the malls, pandemic has basically subsided starting in June, right? So China is very much back into normal starting from July, August, September, September and October. But if you look at the traffic numbers, and the traffic is actually somewhere, everyone is around 10 to 20% down. And what we believe is that collectively with a lot of these retailers are those traffic are not coming back. You know, during the COVID, people are introduced to new ways of shopping online, used to new categories and new occasions. And so it's critical for the offline retailers to think about how do you recover that traffic, right? So the omni-channel offering has to become a number one strategic priority for not just only offense, but also playing defense, just to recover that 20%. And how do you do that profitably? How do you do that sustainably? I think that is going to be the number one challenge and a question for retailers to figure out.
As you alluded to earlier, Jonathan, 11.11 isn't just about sales. It's also about analyzing data to re-strategize an approach to those key consumer growth markets. What are some of the key indicators and trends that you're going to be looking out for after the dust is settled post-11.11?
That's a great question. We will encourage everyone to look at dissecting Double 11 from a couple angles. Number one is really a geography angle. I think we have talked about it, which is this dynamic of polarized market and really a two different market. And from this Double 11, we will see how is the lower tier city market going to be defined, right? In terms of what category are people buying? Are they trading up? Are they developing loyalty? Are they just, you know, bargain hunting and cross-shopping across platforms? I think this will be an important question for all of us looking at this market and say, you know, is this growth going to be sustainable or profitable in the long term? So I think that would be one, which is the geography question, higher tier versus lower tier. The second area, which we will definitely look at, is the online and offline, right? So, you know, we know that we talk about the shift, but it will be very interesting to see for the offline retailers that embraces omnichannel and through the Double 11, can they actually capture some of the market share that has been lost by other retailers? Can they use this opportunity as a way to not just play defense, but also play offense? And can they win with transition and focus on the omnichannel offering? The third part is, and the last part is the brands. So there's a lot of brand dynamics that we will be looking at. The first dynamic is really value versus premium, right? So after COVID, is there an increasing demand flight to value? Are people going to retreat back to value for essential goods? What about the dichotomy between foreign and local brands? You know, will a local brand continue to outgrow foreign brands and gain share? And then what about new items versus familiar items? I think those are the couple angles that we were really focused on. And just to get an understanding of, after COVID, are consumers being more rational and focusing on value versus excitement?
So the key question then is, Jonathan, after all of this, from all of the points that you've mentioned, how do you think China's retail landscape is really going to evolve as we head into 2021? You know, we've got this news of a potential vaccine with 90% efficacy. Markets are up. They're happy on that news. Consumers are probably going to be feeling a little bit more elated in terms of the outlook for next year. So how do you think China's retail landscape is really going to change?
I think that's a great question, and I wouldn't say I have the full crystal ball, but there's a couple areas where I think it will evolve. I believe the trend from offline to online, that trend is not gonna particularly revert. So it's critical for the offline players to really rebase current assets and think about how to really change the role of the store and store experience. And how do you have a new supply chain that can support your omni-channel, dual-channel growth? And for the online players, I think, you know, they will be on the tailwind and continue to have these new users and new traffic and new category expansion. However, the competition is going to be extremely strong. And, you know, the fact that, you know, new entrants, new challengers can take market share so easily, it will create a era where the online competition, which was already intense, further intensifying. So that market will be very interested to see if winners can really cultivate quality GMV and loyal customers in the long term. And you know, and that it comes back to the role of Double 11. It's not just for boosting GMV on that day, but it's about, can you leverage that and create a long lasting relationship with your consumer for the rest 364 days?
So Jonathan, very important question now. What are you going to be looking out for bargain-wise when it comes to 11/11 sales? Will you be online tonight?
I have already been online. You know, this year, the pre-sale is going early, so I've already have a couple things in my basket, but I wouldn't say it in public because my wife probably wouldn't like it.
Wonderful. Well, Jonathan, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you, Rachel. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Jonathan Cheng, partner and head of Greater China Retail at Bain & Company, right here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.